The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Clark Ramsey. We're going to be talking about the Harbor Beach Maritime Festival coming up this weekend. A lot of activities over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and most of Sunday. Give people a little chance to get back to their home turf later in the afternoon on Sunday. But sounds like you got a whole big weekend.
It is going to be a huge weekend in Harbor Beach. The weather is turning out well. It's always a pleasure to be here on What Do You Think, Craig?
Feel so proud. It starts on Thursday. Is that kind of just a launch date, more just to get some things going that need to take a couple of days? Or
I consider it kind of a midnight premiere aspect of the festival. So the bocce tournament, which started out as just a small tournament 11 years ago with about 15-16 teams, has now turned into a tournament of 65 teams. And believe it or not, we did some research on this.
Now, obviously,
and it is,
they're not all from Harbor Beach. You must be attracting people from way out.
It's surprising that a majority of them are local, and we pull from Pigeon, Ubly, Port Austin, across the whole county and thumb area for these teams. But we did some research over the winter, and it is believed to be the largest bocce tournament in the state of Michigan. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
And for us idiots who have not a clue what bocce is,
so
can you
it
just
is
kind of say a little bit what it's like. Yeah, so, I mean, it's obviously involves a ball. And it's probably called a bocce.
You are correct there, Craig. So bocce is a sport that originated in Italy. Oh. And it is pretty much some ceramic or porcelain balls. And they're made from different materials now. And so each team has...
dangerous.
It's very dangerous, yeah. Each team has consisted of four people and two on or each side of a court. And they throw a smaller ball, which is about the size of a golf ball or so. They throw that down the court, and then the two people on each end then try to throw their balls closest to that smaller ball, and then the points are differentiated from there and who's the closest and whatever else, and the game continues until you get to the finals tally, and then you move on through the tournament. So the whole tournament in all will start at 5 p.m., and the winner will be crowned right around 10:30. So it's a night full of bocce. The Zion concession stand is open that night already. The book sale went on during the day, and then the whole festival really kicks off on Friday.
As the weekend approaches.
Absolutely. And so then Friday rolls around.
But it's complete. The bocce ball is...
Bocce is complete for Thursday night,
so
once and for
back,
all.
They can come back for the other things going on.
Yes, and much like the rest of the festival, how everything is absolutely free. As far as admission, you don't need to pay for the bands or whatever. You can bring in your own cooler. You can bring in your own beverages. It's on the beach area. It's open in tox for the weekend. We just ask that you do not bring glass products
clean up after
yourself, absolutely. But if we did the bocce Friday as well, I think the performance might drop a little bit for all those athletes per se, if you know what I'm saying there. It's a good time.
They'd be hydrated.
They would be dehydrated, actually, on Friday, I think is how it would be. And so then Friday rolls around, and we actually have to make room for cornhole. So cornhole started, I think, now 5, maybe 6 years ago, and that was, again, a small little 10-12 team tournament. And now we checked this morning, and we have over 70 cornhole teams signed up for this year's tournament, which is on Friday night. That starts at 6 p.m. So we have a lot of people playing a lot of yard games this year at the Harbor Beach Maritime Festival.
But these games are, you know, like the cornhole. It's easier to set up than, say, horseshoes or something, and it's a lot less dangerous than people throwing steel things around. You're throwing beanbag type of things, or with corn in them, I suppose. It would be the cornhole thing, and it allows for more family fun as opposed to just people who are really into this.
You're absolutely right there, and it was either that or lawn darts, you know, as far as we want to be as dangerous as possible, where you throw them straight up in the air and you watch them come down. But no, cornhole is, everyone seems to enjoy cornhole. It seems like a very Midwestern thing to do.
You can use those against the inflatables.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. So cornhole goes on Friday night at 6 p.m. And technically, as of right now, registration is still open. So it's two-person teams for that, $30 entry. Winner goes home with a cash prize. And then registration will close tonight at 5 p.m. So you'll want to register for that last chance to get into the tournament. I'm I'm guessing we'll have right around 80 teams when all said and done. So we'll have about 16 different sets of boards all the way around the tent, and it's going to be a great time because Friday night of the Maritime Festival, we're very excited as Corteva Agrisciences, which is formerly Dow Elanco, Dow Agrisciences, Dow Chemical. Now they are known as Corteva Agrisciences, and they have really stepped up to the plate as far as their community involvement, and they have sponsored all of Friday for us at the Maritime Festival this year. So Corteva Agriscience Night, they brought in Jedi Mind Trip, which is one of the biggest 80s tribute bands in the entire state. They're coming in Friday night. They'll be on the main stage, which is they're playing on our portable stage, which we constructed ourselves. The thing is a beast. It's a tank. I'm pretty sure it could go through a hurricane stage four.
Don't tempt Mother Nature.
Well, in our reach, we're used to those things. I swear every time we have some sort of concert on the beach, it's always a northeast wind. But so far, it looks like the weather's going to cooperate. But you never know. But you always bring that pullover or a sweatshirt with you when you head east of Verona, that's for sure. But so, Corteva Agrisciences is sponsoring. They're actually the CEO of the entire corporation is coming in from Delaware, and 17 of the top brass are coming with him as well. So they're very excited to have him in our reach. We're going to show him a great time. The entire city is going to be on our best behavior and our best look. So
I'm
we're
sure
very excited to honor.
The plant is cleaning up like crazy.
They're using those pesticides on themselves this week. Yes, no. So it's going to be a great time. The Jedi Mind Trip is a fantastic band. They draw crowds wherever. They're playing in Pigeon 2 weeks later, or the week after, at the Pigeon Farmers Summer Fest. But we had Jedi Mind Trip play back in 2010 in Harbor Beach, and they were a smaller band at that point, but really good feedback, and we had a lot of people give us feedback that they wanted to see Jedi, so we went out and we got Jedi. But before Jedi, that's not the only band of Friday night. The night, about an hour and a half before Jedi goes on at 7, they're calling themselves the Maritime Super Jam. And what this consists of, from 5 to 6:30, these are some of the most talented musicians we could round up. And it was kind of a creation of all these bands that used to play at Maritime. They've kind of gone their separate way or whatever now, and they still have such great memories of having such a great experience at the Maritime Festival that they wanted to come back in some facet. So that's when Brett Mitchell, he's been a staple at the Maritime Festival for a number of years, he took half of his band, combined it with the Barbarossa Brothers, which kind of a more of a folksy rock group. They combined that part of the Barbarossa Brothers, combined that with the bass player from Gut Bucket, which is a very talented band, and then they combined all those people with the Crazy Eights. All those people together form a 9-piece band, and they are just going to rock out at the festival this year. Last year, they kind of did a performance for us, and they finished with the Allman Brothers' Whipping Post, which was absolutely phenomenal. And so they're going to bring that back, and one of their elements of this band is the fact that they have two dueling drum sets on the stage the entire time. So it kind of has that Doobie Brothers feel where you got the two drum sets on there just going to town.
Wow.
It should be a good time. And of course, Friday night.
And this is all free.
This is all free.
This is the point to pass along. You know, you're not paying a cover to get in to listen. You're not doing any of that. It's free. Head on down to the beach.
If you do want to park on the grounds, there is a parking permit for that you can purchase for $10 for the entire weekend. And the bocce, cornhole, those type of things you have to pay to play. But otherwise, the entire festival is free. No admission charge. You don't need a button. You don't need any of that sort. Just come on down.
Is anybody going to come and rescue if you don't have your button?
No.
Oh,
geez. No buttons necessary. And so then you bring your own cooler, bring your lawn chair, have a great time. The bands play right on the beach. There's plenty of grass around it if you don't want to get your toes in the sand there. And so it is a great time. And what we did this year, since Corteva stepped up to the plate so much for the city with this festival, which cost about $35,000 altogether. And so we took that money that we'd spend on a Friday night, and we put that towards another night of fireworks. So for the first time in festival history, and perhaps the first time ever in Harbor Beach, we're having two nights of back-to-back fireworks shows, which are over top of the harbor. You can see the reflections. You can feel the rumble go down the entire shoreline. It is a show that is mimicked by no one. And so we're very excited to introduce two nights of fireworks this year at the Harbor Beach Maritime Festival.
Where do they fire them off?
So in Harbor Beach, there's the Trescott Street Pier, mm-hmm. which is, you know, where the whole
right,
festival
the Lincoln
takes place.
Park's right there and everything else.
Yep, Lincoln Park. That's where everything's based off on Trescott Street. We're drive east on Trescott Street, and where you stop, that's where you are.
And if you don't stop, you're in the water.
You're in the water, which is not very far away this year because the water levels are so high. But so you have the Trescott Street Pier, and where they shoot the fireworks off are is actually from the north. So if you go from the beach to the north, you'll see a pier that's coming out into the water, which is actually the original pier for the entire city of, and actually village of Sand Beach. And so
right,
it used to be
Harbor Beach.
Yeah, Huron Milling Company, then it was Hercules, and then, you know, Universal Flavors and all the name changes, and now Sensient Flavors actually owns the dock and the pier there, which juts out into the middle of the harbor. And so they actually shoot off from that pier. So about 270 degrees of that show is visible from the water, or at least you have water in front of you. So a very unique perspective for firework shows. I took some photos last year, and they just turned out awesome because you have that clear reflection coming off the water, and then they bring in special fireworks that have a little bit more oomph as far as sound goes, just so you hear that it sounds like a freight train going down the entire shoreline with every firework. So it's a very cool show, and we're very excited to have Friday and Saturday this year for fireworks.
I would imagine the protected harbor that you have at Harbor Beach probably lends to that. It keeps the white caps from making it all the way in, and you get a little smoother reflective surface for the pictures you were taking.
That is precisely it. And one thing that we take for granted in Harbor Beach is just having the size of harbor that we have. I mean, it's 1 mile wide and 3 miles long. And so when you think about that, there's no harbor really anywhere like that, and we can have probably six or seven boats all water skiing at the same time in protected water. That just doesn't happen. You can't do that in Port Austin. You can't do that in Port Sanilac. You can't even have a wake in Port Sanilac. Or in Harbor Beach, you have such a protected area that it really lends itself to do a lot of great activities. Of course, we have the kayaks for rent, with the stand-up paddle boards, jet skis now you can rent. So we have a lot of activities that you can do right in the harbor, are protected. The beach is just as long as Castles Beach, believe it or not. So it is a gorgeous beach. We brought in, never thought we'd have to do this, but we actually brought in more sand to the beach this year because the water levels were so high. And so we had some issues previous month of when it was an east wind, the water would wash up, kind of like what happened in Castle Beach this past week as well. When that north wind comes in, it really pushes the water in that much that we were losing a majority of our beach. So we brought in additional sand, and it is absolutely gorgeous. They've been grading it. They've been everything they can possibly do to get ready for the festival. So both sides of the beach, the south and north side of the beach, look absolutely fantastic. The city crew has been doing a phenomenal job. The DPW, Parks and Rec, everyone's been all hands on deck to make that possible. And so the beach looks absolutely awesome. The grass has been coming in well. We tiled last year the entire beachfront because the water table is so high that we had an issue there. So the grass is coming in very well. The tent was able to be put in the same spot that it historically is. Tent's larger than ever. And so a lot of great things are all lining up for this year's Maritime.
Now, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong,
okay,
that this is the only time that you allow some form of limited camping by the lake and the park there. It's not, you know, obviously you don't have full sewer hookups and everything else, but those people who have tents and self-contained units, first come, first serve, or I know maybe they're all reserved already anyway, but that is about the only time you allow any of that type of thing right down there at the beach.
You're absolutely right. And so rustic camping on the beachfront, I mean,
that's such a nice word for it, rustic,
yes. Better known as no electricity or no sewer hookup, but people absolutely love it. We've actually closed that registration already, I do believe. If not, it's pretty darn close. But they were able to register online a number of months ago, and they just kept piling in as far as camping. Because think about it, you wake up and you open up your door to your camper or your tent, and right there is the sunrise coming through the main gap over top of a lighthouse, and it's just an absolutely gorgeous view. It's really second to none. There's no better spot on Lake Huron to see the sunrise, in my opinion. Of course, I'm biased, and everyone knows that. But it's a great opportunity to camp, and it's only $100 from Thursday through Sunday to camp on the waterfront. So another unique experience that's only available at the Maritime Festival, because the rest of the time it's a public beach.
And obviously, you've done this a couple of years, so you've had enough experience that you know that you have to have enough containers out for people to throw their trash out and all that stuff, so your poor DPW crews aren't running around going, what did they do to us this year?
No, the Parks and Rec Department in Harbor Beach does an absolutely phenomenal job of staying on top of those trash cans and everything that is required to come to a festival in itself. It's unbelievable how much effort and work goes in behind the scenes to make an event like this happen. You know, every single one of our events that takes place from Thursday through Sunday requires some sort of chairperson, and then that chairperson requires other manpower to make things work and to man stations and everything.
And then they have to get together with each other so they're not bumping into each other's turf. You know, I need that at 4. No, we're not done till 7. And no, that doesn't work out.
Yeah, it's until you are part of it or a part of a festival of any sort, you don't realize, and it's no one's fault, you just don't think about it until you really start looking into how much effort and work hours and dedication it takes to make a community festival like any of our festivals in the entire thumb possible. And I applaud anyone out there. I've been involved with Maritime for well over a decade now. And so it's remarkable to watch the festival transform. It's a year-round commitment. After last year's festival, we were pleased with last year's outcome. We were always satisfied with how Maritime turns out. But we looked at it and said, you know, we need to put some more energy. We need to kind of transform ourselves into a better festival than what we are already. You know, we're going to make Maritime great again, Craig. But no, so...
You're selling those hats, I take it.
No hats are sold. And so we had a large group of people come out in August, so a month after last year's festival, and already thinking about ideas for the following year. And that's when we really got a lot of new ideas flowing and a lot new energy and a lot more people involved. And so I'm very excited. I keep using that word too much, but I'm very excited for this year's festival because we have that, you know, that grassroots movement going with this festival. And we have a lot of great bands coming in, crowd pleasers all through and through. We have, you know, we have our classic tribute bands and the bands that cover, you know, play the covers and that stuff. But we also have a Grammy Award winning guitarist playing on Saturday before our main act. You know, that's the quality of talent that we have coming in for these concerts. How many bands? I think it's over 10 different sets that are going to be played throughout the entire festival. So there's a lot of things that go into play. And it's all because we had that feedback and we had that interaction with the community to make all of that possible. So I'm very grateful for the amount of dedication we have in Harbor Beach and the surrounding area. You know, our sponsors make this entire festival possible. There's, of course, some city backing for the fireworks and that kind of thing, but the rest of the festival is completely funded by local sponsors. It's the local businesses. It's the local organizations that are footing the bill for all of this to happen. So it's the Cortevas of the world. It's, you know, everyone out there does their part in a different way to make Maritime and every local festival happen.
So you have to sit there and kind of do a little balancing act. You want to keep enough of what they come there for, but offer them something new to experience at the same time, so it's not same old, same old. And then you find out what works there, and they may become eventually what people think of in the Maritime Festival and come back for, and it kind of goes around and around.
Exactly. And so it is, you know, seeing what worked in the past and saying, all right, we definitely got to keep doing that. That's why we have inflatables coming back. That's why we have the frog jumping coming back. That's why we have the hot dog eating contest coming back. And all those staples of Maritime. And then we say, well, what could work? What route do we want to go? And of course, we have a lot of great ideas. And we always say, well, if you love that idea, how about you share it and let's make it possible. And so that's why a lot of the things were able to happen this year. The Sandcastle Contest is coming back. That's the first time in, I think, 3 or 4 years that we've done that. The Lighted Boat Parade.
Sandcastle,
yes.
Are we talking adults or kids? Or maybe there's different divisions.
There's divisions, yes.
But
so
I mean,
it's,
you know, because the kids lay the bucket or two, and they flip it over, and here's my castle, and here's the moat, and there's the drawbridge, where some adults, these things turn into architectural masterpieces.
And that's what we've seen when we used to do this back in the day, and so everyone had great memories of it. It was a great event for the kids, and so we brought it back. We had a great team step up to make that possible. So we have the Sandcastle Contest coming back, the Lighted Boat Parade, which was originated with the festival back in 2001. It ran for a couple of years and kind of went by the wayside, and so they're bringing that back this year. That's going to be Saturday night, I do believe. No, that's Friday night.
But when this thing started, it was inverters and full Christmas bulbs and stuff.
Yeah.
Now we have
LEDs
and stuff that can make things a whole lot easier to do a lot of fancy decorating. You can computerize. You can do all kinds of fancy things with LEDs. And you're not bailing water out of the boat all the time because of all the batteries and everything else you had to put in.
Yeah, LED technology has really made a lot of things possible. You know, we see that with the game show, straight up. You know, the game show wouldn't be possible if we didn't have LED technology behind us. But the same with this Lighted Boat Parade.
You wouldn't be putting cathode ray tubes in front of people?
Well, we might cause a brownout in Harbor Beach if we did all of that. But
so not to mention they'd have to stand there with the dentist lead suits in front of them to keep the radiation from hurting them.
Yeah, we'd have to limit the number of people in the balcony. So the Lighted Boat Parade on Friday is sponsored by Wood Contracting. They line up at the marina. You still have a chance. You can register online or just show up that day and register in person that day. And so it's going to be about 9:30 that night as Lighted Boat Parade will leave from the marina. You'll go through the marina, down past the pier, and then circle back and go back to the marina. You can go out and merry your way. Even kayaks are welcome to join in. You need to have lights of sort on your kayak to make it legal. We've been checking with the Coast Guard. They've been a great partner in this event for us. So the Lighted Boat Parade's coming back Friday night. Of course.
Do they have somebody leading it so everybody knows where to go so they don't run aground or do something foolish? You know, people are people.
People are people. We learned that last week or the 4th. But yes, we do have a leader in that, and it's going to be a very well organized event.
I mean, not that you have, you know, a harbor that's, you know, almost bone dry or anything, but you know, you do need to know where you're going and have some sort of order.
Yes, we have plenty of water in the harbor this year. It's crazy to think, you know, it must have been about 7 years ago or so. We really had to look at the future of the jet ski races because there wasn't enough water. And to think
they were looking at the marina as to how much we got to dredge just to get boats in here.
It's unbelievable. And I remember being involved in that dredging project in Harbor Beach. That's how we got our barge and our whole system that we won state awards with. When we really weren't sure if we were going to open the marina that year. And because we need those big boats, we need about 7 feet of draft in the water to get in. And we had about 3 at one point, you know, even maybe down to 2. But now you're looking at 10 feet plus.
People weren't putting boats in because they couldn't go to other harbors because they didn't know what they'd find there.
Yeah, the low water.
It was not a good time then, but to now you got all the water you need.
Low water and the fuel prices at that point was just what really killed the whole industry for a few years there. And we're starting to see that come back. And what better way to celebrate the maritime history of our state and our region with the Maritime Festival in Harbor Beach? So, and everyone loves fireworks. We certainly love them more the 4th, and why not have an encore the week after the 4th here? And so fireworks Friday night and Saturday, that is a fantastic addition to this year's festival for the first time ever. And thanks to Corteva for stepping up to the plate to make that possible by them sponsoring the main acts on Friday night. So Corteva night is going to be a great night in Harbor Beach.
Now, you mentioned something.
Okay.
And you mentioned the barge. You could use that, but you haven't had much need for it of late, but you're going to utilize it, I understand, for the Maritime Festival.
So, the barge. This was...
Not the barge.
No, barge. The barge, yes. So, this started probably 4 or 5 years ago, and a number of people, we had this idea that said, hey, it'd be really cool someday to have a band on the barge. And just so people could float up to it, you know, boats could come up behind it and just have a big, you know, kind of a float party for the day. Oh, that'd be great. And we kind of, you know, thought about it and moved on type thing, not thinking it was possible. Then the barge comes along in Harbor Beach and we say, all right, well, that's maybe an option. And finally, after last year's festival, we said, all right, we've been tossing this idea around for 5 years now. Let's make it happen. And so John Woods and Ron Rubel really took it and ran with it. And so we have 2 bands performing on our second stage this year, which is going to be water-based. So it's going to have we're going to have the bands on the barge out in the harbor so you can float up to it. It's going to be a sight. And I said, and my worry was, you know, the moment we put this band on a barge, we're almost guaranteeing a northeast wind in, you know, at 25 miles an hour. But that's not the case. The forecast
is... if it's a northeast wind, they'll end up on the beach.
That's very true, yes. We don't want to... Well, Canada might get a free show otherwise, but no, it's... So it's, we're very fortunate with the weather forecast and all the precautions have been taken. Our sound production crew, Bissonette Sound, is, they're true professionals. And so they're able to make this possible with all the electricity that's needed and everything, all the safety procedures that are required to, you know, electricity and water really don't mix very well. So to put a band on a steel barge in the water, there's some risk involved in there, but we've taken all the precautions necessary to make this possible. So I'm very excited to see this come to fruition, finally, after 5 years of talking about it, to see how this works. And we'll get our feet wet, not literally, this year, and then we'll really run with it, hopefully, next year. And hopefully we'll have a whole new venue spot in Harbor Beach, if this goes well.
Putting a cover on it, like the stage you have.
Yeah.
And sound travels different on the water. I mean, if you're out fishing, you can hear the guys talking way down there because the water just seems to travel. So that sound is going to really carry through the town.
You're exactly right. And so we're very excited to see the opportunity that will bring to Harbor Beach. And we'll see what the future holds as far as that goes. Maybe it's going to be complete flop, but there's only one way to find out.
Don't use flop. Just say it doesn't work.
It didn't. So many water puns today, Craig.
I keep thinking of the Simpsons episode where they had Green Day on a barge, and it just didn't work out. You can imagine what they'd do with that.
Yeah, so Saturday kicks off with the Harbor Beach Community Hospital 5K Walk and Run. So that check-in begins at the American Legion Hall. You can register that day still. And it starts at the beach. It follows the entire Harborview Trail, which is our bike and pedestrian trail, which goes from the south end of town to the north end of town. So you'll start on the beach, you'll follow the shoreline all the way up, you'll go onto the break wall, turn around, and then run back. It's 5K, and the distance works out. And so that is one of the most scenic 5Ks, in my opinion, in the area, if not the entire state. That's right at 8 a.m. The sun is up. It's beautiful. It's calm, typically, at that point, still in the morning.
But it's not hot.
It's not hot, yes.
It's not the heat of the day, and you're able to enjoy a cool breeze, maybe off the water, maybe off land, but it's a good time to run.
Yes, and it lets you sweat out what you consumed Friday night, if that's the case, or that it's your cup of tea. And so, this, sadly, though, one thing I'd like to note, because she's such a great friend, is Jean Farabee, who is the marketing coordinator over at Harbor Beach Community Hospital, and is such an advocate for the entire community. Unfortunately, she passed away this past year, and this will be the first 5K without her there ever since this whole 5K began. So we'll certainly miss Jean Farabee, but everyone will be out there in their honor for her. And she did such a great job of setting up this entire event that now the people who are in charge of it, they are set up for success because of Jean. And so we have typically close to 300 runners and walkers in this event. So it's a huge, huge 5K, especially for local standards. And so that really kicks off the day at 8 a.m., and then just from there until midnight, it's nothing but events the rest of the day.
And this is something, you know, people just think, oh, yeah, we're running, it's nothing. There's planning to this. You have to know, you know, the fast ones go first so they're not bumping into the slow pokes. And you got the people who, you know, won't be as fast, they're not professional marathoners or whatever, you know what I mean? And you got the people like me where you're going to have somebody going behind them with a defibrillator just to keep them going. And then you got like families where they just do the walk with their kids and everything, you know, it's not just really one event.
It's truly a family experience, and you see that a lot, and where the whole family is running, even from the 6-month-old in a stroller all the way up to grandpa and grandma walking with them too. So it's a fun event. It's a fun way to kick off the Saturday, the main day of the festival, and you're not going to have better views for a 5K in very few other places.
And it'll work up an appetite for all the food you're going to have this weekend.
Yeah, so one of the other new things that we're bringing in this year is a food truck. And so this is kind of a test program, in my opinion, of how we could introduce this into future festivals. And so we have, oh, I can't remember their names right now. It's a Mexican food truck coming out of Lexington. El Hombre Grande Taqueria is coming up, and so they are their reviews of their food is phenomenal anywhere they go, and they're actually going to be donating 10% of their income and revenue from the weekend back to local organizations within Harbor Beach. So we're very thankful for that dedication to the community, And so we're bringing in food trucks this year to see if we can expand that into the future, because it's my opinion that more food options actually bring in more people. It's not the fact that they're pulling away from other vendors. So the more food talks, especially in America. And so when you have food, people come out, look at Cheeseburger. You know, look at any successful event. It's based around food and a good time. And so we certainly have the good time in Harbor Beach, so we're bringing in food as well. And so hopefully this takes off and it's received well.
This could be something that grows, and you might even find yourself on Food Network down the road a few years. They do stuff on food trucks.
Without a doubt.
And there's all different kinds and different styles of food they can cook up. So who knows? It may have all started this year, and you could be right here from the beginning.
And you heard it here with Craig Routson first. But so that's that they're going to be there all weekend, and so there's plenty of food options. The Zion concession stand is there from Thursday night all the way through Sunday, and they have hand-cut fries. They're frying them right there. They're cutting them right there. They're soaking them right there.
You're saying Zion is in Zion
Lutheran. Zion Lutheran School in Harbor Beach. It's one of their main fundraisers for the entire year is right here at the festival. They do the manpower that's needed for that stand is I just get pain thinking about it, because it's such dedication. The folk that are involved with that, they do a phenomenal job. They have hamburgers, hot dogs, brats. They've had elephant ears in the past, funnel cakes in the past. They you name it, they have it somewhere involved in that stand. So if you come hungry, and you will leave plenty satisfied. And pizza is back this year. Nesto's Pizza is supplying the pizza once again. They have their famed Chicken Alfredo pizza, which isn't typically only available at the festival. They never had, up to this point, they've never had it on the regular menu. So the only time you can get it is during Maritime down at the Zion stand underneath the tent right at the beach. So Saturday morning as well, there's lighthouse tours. And I'm not sure, Craig, if you've seen the lighthouse as of recent, but they've been doing a phenomenal job, the Lighthouse Preservation Society, and they have lighthouse tours every Saturday.
I've been there before the Foghorn building has been put up, and I've seen pictures of the building now. It just brings it back even more.
And they've been restoring it. I looked this up. They've been restoring it for 37 years now, the lighthouse. And if you have not taken a tour, I would highly recommend it. It's $20. It leaves from the marina every Saturday from 9 to noon. Last boat leaves at noon. And you can pre-register at harborbeachlighthouse.org. And you can register for all of that. And it's actually going to be a shortened season this year because they are painting the main tower in late August, early September. So it's going to have a brand new coat of paint on it. But the fog signal building is phenomenal. They built it as precise to the old specs as possible. When they're using 2x4s, they're using 2x4-inch pieces of wood.
Not what you get today.
No, they're milling it themselves to the specifications that are on the original GSA government documents to make this building. So just last week, they got the fog boiler horn chimneys up in the air. So it is nearly done, and you'll want to check that out in Lighthouse Tours on Saturday from 9 to noon. Book online. They will sell out very fast.
And just a reminder, you will need to be amble enough to go upstairs and such. I mean, we try to make everything in society today, handicapped accessible, but you will need to be able to get into a boat. You'll need to climb stairs. It'll be higher this year because of the water level.
Yes.
You don't have so many stairs to climb to get to the platform. And then there are stairs inside the tower itself if you want to take the tour up there. So if you want the full effect, you're going to need to be a little bit ambulatory, at least to get the full extent.
It's certainly not your standard museum tour. It involves a boat, and of course it's a lighthouse. So yeah, there's going to be stairs, there's going to be tight walkways and stuff, but the entire interior has also been redone and back to the original 1920s 1930s feel, where they have all the original furniture and all the essentials that made a lighthouse work with the keepers.
And so, I was there, they even had clothes laid out on the beds, mm-hmm, to give you an idea of what they would wear at that time. And it's just a walk back in time.
The attention to detail that the Lighthouse Preservation Society does is remarkable. And they do a fantastic job. The light fog signal building is just another symbol of their dedication to Harbor Beach. And so
and there will not be a foghorn in there to blow your ears off. They're using it for other things there, but it is a replica of what had been there, what people saw 100 years ago.
Yeah, the original Foghorn, my parents grew up in Harbor Beach, and my mom grew up outside of Harbor Beach by about two, three miles, and you could wake up from the original Foghorn going off. So it's not, the new Foghorn is not that. We're trying to get, at one point, I'm not sure where they're at with this, but the Buzz Herr, who's has more connections than you can think about, but he's trying to work with the Smithsonian to get an original boiler from the Smithsonian to put in that fog signal building so we can have it as accurate as possible. So what they're doing is absolutely crazy up there, and you definitely want to see it up close and personal. That's on Saturday. A lot of bands the rest of the way out on Saturday on the main stage, which is right on the beach, free. And then also on the barge, we have two acts in that afternoon. Actually, BNT plays on the, or the Hooligans start playing on the barge at 11 a.m. and then BNT after that at 3:30 on the barge.
We're going to have to kind of speed up.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, we're running out of time here.
But you have the Jet Ski Invitational, Co-Ed Volleyball, you've got a craft show, Pet Kid and Bicycle Parade Saturday. There's all kinds. And we're not even out of the morning.
No, and the Kids Carnival is a huge part. That started last year, and they moved it from Friday to Saturday this year because the response was so huge. So they're really expanding that. The Kids Carnival is from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. underneath the tent. There's also inflatables during that same time. The Conservation Club is there with their hands-on displays. And then, of course, a plug here for the Browns Marketplace Hot Dog Eating Contest. That's at 2:30 this year. Moved up an hour and actually moved locations. Typically, we've been under the tent. Because of the crowds and because of the locations, we have moved it to the main stage now. So it's going to be the main spectacle of the entire area. That'll be on the main stage at 2:30. Yours truly will be hosting. It is the most exciting 10 minutes in sports, in my opinion. And
I should be taking it closer to the bathrooms.
And I like to think that it's the second largest hot dog eating contest in the world, but don't fact check me on that one. And then, of course, bands the rest of the way out, the Blue Pines, more of an alternative rock feel. And then following that, Harper in the Midwest Kind, and that's where we have that Grammy Award-winning guitarist. And then he played last year. He's originally from Australia. He has only two shows in Michigan this entire year. We're one of them. And so he bounces around the entire world, realistically. And then we finished the night with Dirty Deeds Detroit. And they're an AC/DC tribute band, in my opinion. They have a great sound. You know, they nail the lead vocals of every AC/DC song. And then in between their sets, we'll have the main fireworks display, which has been a staple of the festival since we began this back in 2001. Moving on to Sunday, the Beach Assault 3-on-3 tournament. This was always 2 weeks after the festival. On a standalone event, we decided to move it into the festival. That's on Sunday on top of the tank, which is at the north end of the beach and park, and then also on the street there, kind of in between the car show, which has been another staple of Sunday. So we'll have the car show, the Beach Assault, and then, of course, the dueling pianos and the fish fry, and everything else going on the beach. And it all wraps up with the cash raffle at 3:00, which all benefits the community. And then we'll have another successful maritime festival in the books.
And then come the following Monday, you'll be sitting there thinking, now what are we going to do next year?
Well, maybe Thursday. It takes maybe a few Thursday. Days to recover from this, most certainly from all the sun and sand and energy that it takes to pull off a festival. But it's to everyone involved, thank you. I cannot thank you enough. I get up for whatever reason, I get a lot of the credit. I'm, in my opinion, not very involved in the festival anymore, but people seem to turn to me for when they give out credit. That is not, I do not deserve that, but I'd like to thank everyone that puts in the time and energy, and of course, to our sponsors, to our local businesses that fund everything, and then for everyone who comes out and supports the festival. It takes people to have a successful festival, and we certainly have that turnout. There will be thousands. By the end of the festival, we'll have probably close to 10,000 people attend. So it's a great time.
Maritime Festival on Facebook. You can get more information, including the flyer as to when all the events are happening, mm-hmm. everything that's going on. You can plan your days out as to where you want to be when things are going on and where to eat.
And also the website, themaritimefestival.com. We'll take you right there with the most up-to-date information. Of course, Facebook is the other great one. Just search Harbor Beach Maritime.
And if there are things you can still register for, I imagine you can do it on the website, maritimefestival.com.
And we're still, yes, absolutely. And we're still taking applications for the hot dog eating contest. We have about half of our field filled out. We have a returning champion from last year. And we also have...
What's the record to beat? Do you know?
Last year was 24, I do believe.
In
10 minutes.
In 10 minutes.
And that's a lot of hot dogs in 10 minutes with bun.
Two dozen in 10 minutes.
Yes. Do the math there, but I think
just the dogs, no buns.
No, with buns.
With buns, yes. You make it harder.
Oh, well, this is the real deal, Craig. You know, I mean, you go straight. I mean, the progression of hot dogging contests is you go from Harbor Beach, you go straight to Long Island.
If it ain't a bun, it's a wiener.
You go straight to Coney Island after this. But no, so we have some great competitors coming out to challenge our defending champion this year. So Mike Brown, you know, he's a lean, mean machine, but he can put down a hot dog in 6 seconds. So we'll see if he is up for the challenge this year.
He is a person who needs not to inhale.
Something along those lines. But we're very excited for the hot dogging contest and the entire festival going on this weekend, starting on Thursday with Abachi, running all the way through Sunday in Harbor Beach.
Well, we wish you a good time, good weather, lots of fun, and some great memories for the people who come to Harbor Beach this weekend.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being with us. Our guest today has been Clark Ramsey talking about the Maritime Festival in Harbor Beach. It's been a staple for, my gosh, I can't, it's decades. And it's coming up this weekend, July 11th to the 14th, right downtown. Most of the action is right on the beach. Trescott Road, find that and just go right down to the beach and you'll be smack dab in the middle of it.
We'll take care of the rest for you.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news. Keep it right here.